Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 15. Okay? Matthew's Gospel 16, 15. That's a great prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that your word is done with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. Let's rush there quickly. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. Right? Are you there? We're looking at engaging the scriptures. So look at Mark's Gospel 16. So we said Jesus gave an instruction. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. So we said that Jesus gave an instruction to the disciple. And by extension, that makes the disciple of Jesus an evangelist. Right? So every believer is an evangelist. Say, I am. Say, I am. An evangelist. Now, we said, what's the word evangelist? We said it's someone that brings good tidings. Someone that brings good news. Someone that preaches the gospel of Christ. Right? We said evangelism implies to spread or to preach the gospel. Mark's Gospel 16. Right? So by default, every believer has a purpose on earth. So God's purpose for your life is to preach the gospel. Are we together? Right? And I told you last week, I said, if you get successful in every area of your life, except that which God has called you to do, it's as good as you being successful in nothing. Right? If you're successful in every other area of your life, excluding that which is the center focus, God's major will and area for your life, you're like a man who has successfully done everything passionately, but successfully done nothing. Are we together? So it's very important. So the Bible says, go into the world and preach. Now, the word they preach is a word that means to announce. Right? It's a word that means to announce the gospel. Now, it's very important to note that, you know, the gospel is something that needs to be announced. It's something that needs to be preached. So you announce an event that is either in the past or in the future. Right? So we saw some scriptures like Romans 1:16 where Paul will say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God or what? Unto salvation, to the Jew and to the Greek. Right? So God wants man to be saved. And the way that he does it is by getting the message of the gospel presented to the hearts of another. Right? So one of the simple examples you can look at or you can always remember regarding salvation and the need for preaching is, imagine you're on the boat, right? And the storm is raging. Right, and you have the ability to stretch your hand from the boat into the river or into the sea to help somebody who is drowning. Right now, when the person decides to cling himself or herself to your hands, you pull the person up into the boat. You see, that's the message of the gospel. God Jesus on the boat in his kingdom, stretching forth his hands. So when Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, The hand that is stretched forth, rather, is God's demonstration of his power to save you. Right? So God wants the man that is wallowing in the mist, wallowing in the, you know, in the middle of storm, that is getting destroyed, getting into condemnation, all of those things, to be restored by his power, his saving power. Right? You see, and God wanted man to be saved, and that's why he came as a man. So look at it. Man was in problem, or man was in trouble. And God came to save man. See, before man got into trouble, God knew that man would get into trouble. So the gospel is not a response to man's action. Are we together? Right? So what would let him say differently? The death, the resurrection of Jesus is not as much a planned action that God began to plan when man fell or when man had an issue or when man began to realize that he had a problem. So you have all the story of Jehovah Witness and the Jehovah Witness book, the yellow book, so to say, you know, where you see there was a garden, there was a tree, there was an apple, and somebody ate an apple, and all of those things, right? The fundamental message that Moses is communicating is that man fell, right? And in man's fall, in the real sense, God made a plan to remedy man from time. So the gospel is a message to ready man. So one of the things you want to learn how to say or to do is to narrate the gospel, you know, beautifully altogether. I was out on evangelism yesterday and met a brother, you know, and I just asked for a few seconds to talk to him. And he said, well, he has a few seconds, but I should make it quick. So when I started giving him the story of the gospel, he said he had never heard anyone present it that way. Right? And what exactly was I painting to him? That man in his or her wretchedness is found at the kingdom and camp of sin and death. And God decides to come right into the middle of the camp to rescue man. Such that God rescues man from the camp of the devil without hurting or touching the devil. Do you understand? Right? Jesus dealt with death by dying, Hebrews 2. Right? He dealt with death by dying. So Jesus gave the last blow of death, or gave death the last blow by dying, by submitting himself to death. So God in his eternal state submitted himself to mortality, to be killed by man. Yet God will not have died as a spirit. Are we together? So the only way you could see God die is to take on mortal flesh. Right? And guess what? The people who crucified Jesus, the moment Jesus resurrected and they believed in the work of Jesus, they are saved as you are. Altogether. So the message of the gospel is a sacrifice that has been done for everybody. But not everybody will partake of it. So you must be careful in knowing how not to segregate who doesn't need the gospel. Right? You must be careful to know how not to look at someone and just assume you look like a Christian. Altogether. Not everybody bearing John does the work of John in the Bible. Altogether. That somebody says their name is John and their surname is Mark does not mean that they are a believer. You don't assume people are believers because of their names. Are we together? Right? We are asked to preach, to herald the gospel. Romans 10:13 will now say, well, people need to hear the gospel. How will they hear? There needs to be a preacher. Right? How will they believe? They need to hear. How will they hear? They need to be a preacher. How will they be a preacher? People have to be sent. But guess what? You've been sent. Are we together? I have been sent. We've been sent to do the work of an evangelist on the earth. So, dear saints, I can tell you for free. See, you can successfully grow in your career and become the managing director or the CEO of your company after 5 years. Right? You can call it any name you want to call it. The favor of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the passion of mercy of the Lord, any name you want to call it. But if you are not preaching the gospel, you are not doing adequately what His Spirit in you is meant to do. Altogether. So we have God's Spirit and we're emboldened, we're enabled to do His work on the earth. So we are asked to preach the gospel. On Wednesday, we started looking at Paul's defense before who? Agrippa? Was that Wednesday? We started looking at Paul's defense before Agrippa. And what was Paul teaching? Paul boldly, you know, will be teaching and be talking about, you know, the message of the gospel. You know what it is to stand before a king? Such that the king now says, well, the way Paul, you've spoken, you are persuading me. Paul says, I wish that it is not only you I'm persuading, but you and your entire kindred, your entire household. That's the way the gospel works. You see, don't try to, you know, help God when it comes to preaching the gospel. Preach the gospel and leave it there. Don't try to help God. Yeah. Today we're going to pay emphasis to what the gospel is not. Because we easily mistake it. Right, we're going to pay emphasis to what exactly does the Bible teach as what the gospel is not. We pay attention to it rather, but we're going to pay attention to what evangelism is not. That's what I'm trying to say. So Jesus says, "Go into all the world." Let me tell you, there is no time in the history of humankind or the human race that when you read Mark 16:15, it will be in the past tense. Did you hear that? There is no time in the history of human race that when you as a believer read Mark 16:15, when it says, go into all the world, that it will be in the past tense. There's no time. So we cannot record it and say Jesus told them to go. And he told them to go. No, it is every single day you wake up, Mark 16:15 is an instruction to you to go. Now, what does it mean to go? You must understand that there's difference between casually, you know, going and intentionally going. Well, it's very important that you make up your mind. So, there is a name given to now adjective. What do you call the general name for now adjective pronoun? Is it gospel? Is it part of speech? Now, pronoun, adjective, verb. No, figure of speech is. There's a name we call noun. Is it part of speech? Part of speech. Doesn't sound part of speech. Now verb, preposition, conjunction. How come it sounds strange to me? So then why don't we have let's go? And so it's called part of speech, right? What part of speech is go?
Verb.
What is a verb? I cannot forget that. A verb is an action or doing word. Right? So if we say go is a verb, it means it requires an action from you. See, don't let your pastor be sweating and be shouting go every Sunday and you are not doing anything about it. Go here does not mean go home. Amen? Go here is to go where? Into the world. Now I've taught you, what is the world really about? See, every opportunity and atmosphere that you can talk to another human being is the world. Do you hear that? Any opportunity or given slight gap or atmosphere where you can talk to another human being, that's the world. That's the world. So when it says going into the world is everyone, it means once you step out of this door, you see another brother or you see another sister, right? In the real sense, that's what part of the world. So we have to go into all the world and preach. So every time we read go, it's an instruction that can never be in the past tense. So the instruction to preach the gospel is an everyday living instruction for the believer. Take note of that, I'll say it again. The instruction to preach the gospel is an everyday living instruction for the believer. So every place, every opportunity, the believer must seize the advantage to preach. What does it mean to preach? Announce, is that true? Yeah, the believer must seize the opportunity to preach or to announce the gospel. So you are a newscaster, hallelujah. You are a newscaster. You are a news reporter. You are reporting not your news, but the news of his resurrection. So let's look at what evangelism is not. Number one, I wrote it here. I said, evangelism is not inviting people to church or for a church program. Amen? Evangelism is not inviting people to church or inviting people for a church program. What do I mean? When you go to the streets and go and say, there's a flyer we're having in Christed. It will be good to see you. When you now get the job, the person now say, did you do evangelism this week? You say, yes, I did. Yeah? Now, is there a place for inviting people with flyer? Yes. We're going to look through, like I discovered, about 12 or 13 of them. So, when a man believes the gospel, when the gospel is preached to him, what is expected of that man? To be invited to a local church. Do you get the point? Before you invite a person, the person, you should be rest assured first of all if the person is born again. See, your assignment on the street is not to bring people who are not born again here for them to come and hear your pastor. Amen? Amen. Just come. I don't know what to say to you, but just come. I know God will say something to you through my pastor. Your work is not to bring unbelievers everywhere in the world to just come and listen to your pastor. Before you get them to the point of conviction to come to your local church, you must have been sure that you've done the work of preaching the gospel to them. Yeah? The next important thing to your salvation is the local church you join. Yeah? The second important thing is the local church. You know, look at Acts 2, verse 41, quickly. So, before you invite, you must announce. Important to note. Before you invite, you must announce. Now, together. Right? We're together. So look at Acts 2:41. It says, look at 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of sins, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, Acts 2:38, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Look at verse 41. Let's read verse 41 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What now happened in verse 42? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in what? Prayer. So, what was done before breaking of bread, fellowship? The gospel was announced. The gospel was preached. So they got born again. Look at what happened in verse 47. It now says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So there's a little Bible interpretation you need to correct there. When it says such as should be saved, it's possible for you to think there are some people who God has predestined to be saved. Yeah? But better way to read that will be, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are what? Saved. Are we together, right? So the salvation of those who were saved was not something God. So God does not preempt or pre-plan certain people to be saved. That's a universal. There's a theory like that that says that you know, God has predestinated those that will be saved. It's unfortunate how people who teach that still end up preaching a gospel. Because if God has destined those who will be saved, there's no need preaching. Now, imagine you preach to somebody who is persuaded enough to hear your gospel. The person starts following you to church. And the person keeps following you to church. And only for your last day, the person says, I did not plan you to be saved. Can you imagine that? After the person has been committed to local church, everything they have grown, God, Jesus, will now say, your name is not on the list, though. So everything you did was in vain. Do you understand? It doesn't make any sense. So those that were added to the church were those that were saved. Saved after what? Hearing the preaching of Peter. Mind you, there was a supernatural experience. Look at Acts 1. If you look at Acts 1, for instance, Jesus taught for 40 days. Acts 1, 13. The Bible says they gathered together about 120 of them and they were praying. Right? Yeah. Acts 2. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost was fully come. Right? And they were all gathered together in one accord. Right, and began to see supernatural, have supernatural encounters. Now, what now happened? The Bible says that people were mocking them. What does this mean? Why are they drunk? Altogether, then Peter in verse 13, lifting up his voice with the 11, now said, men and brethren, right, what you are seeing, these are not people who are drunk. But Joel the prophet has spoken about it. That I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, daughters, sons, you know, and all of those things. And they shall see vision and whatever I told you. And went to Psalm 16. Right, then he kept teaching. What was the outcome of the number of people that he preached to that got saved? 3,000 people were saved upon account of the teaching of who? Peter. Are we together? Then what now happens? The people that were saved were those outside the boats. So when Peter was preaching the gospel, what was he doing? He was stretching forth his hand to help 3,000 souls in the storm to get on the boat. So Paul will now tell you the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the catch to get one saved from the raging storm is not any other thing but the gospel. Are we together? So somebody cannot be raging in the someone. So look at it. If somebody is getting drowned in water, you are giving him track to invite him for a special meeting. It's different if your track even has something you can read and believe. Right, but you are now giving him a track saying, come to Christ in 2023. Can he get him saved? Do you understand? He can't get him saved, right? So, number one, you must understand evangelism is not inviting people to church. I did not just say you should not invite people to church. Up, Jesus, are you with me? That does not mean don't invite people to church because just a pastor has said evangelism is not inviting people to church. People will ever have in mind, no. Right? I'm trying to say there is the part of inviting people to church. There's the part of doing the work of an evangelist. Don't mix it up. Number two, evangelism is not as much sharing of tracts or sharing of books. Yeah? Evangelism is not as much the sharing of tracts or sharing of books. Now, the use of sharing tracts and use of books is not wrong. Altogether, you know, like I told all of you in church, when you go out with our tracks in church, when people say they don't have time, you have every right to hand over a track to them to go and read it. Altogether, right? But you must understand The problem is that a lot of times now, if you now say that one is evangelism, all you do is to be sharing tracts. Go to everybody's door and knock. When they open the door for you, you give them one tract. So that's a copy. Right? But you are asked to arouse the message of the gospel. So the believer has a mandate from scriptures to announce. Remember the word preach is to what? Announce. Who will do the work of the announcing? You yourself will do the work of announcing. So you have to announce the gospel altogether, right? So one who is ready to give tracts must also be ready to announce the gospel. Note that in your book. One who is ready to give tracts or one who gives tracts must also be ready to preach, that is to announce the gospel. Yeah? One who is ready to give tracts must also be ready to give, or rather to preach and announce the gospel of Christ Jesus. So you must be ready to engage the recipient of your tract with the message of the gospel. That's number what now? Number two. Okay, now number three. Evangelism is not posting church flyer on WhatsApp page or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok. Evangelism is not you posting your pastor's video. You must understand that. Now, mind you, I hope you know that everything I'm saying evangelism is not. We're not saying we stop doing them. Do you get the point? We're just trying to draw the clear line also as to what the expectation from scripture is. Right? So, as a church, right, are you to share the flyers of your local church?
Yes.
With your full chest. Are you with me? Yeah, you have to share your flyers of your church. You have to share the content of your church. So, don't allow Sister Esther to be share the weekly excerpts to you and you just give thumbs up and you move on. You don't even watch it. There's a part of you watching it. There's a part of you sharing it. Let me tell you for free, right? I've got in contact with strange people in different parts of the world by somebody else sending or sharing, rather, one of our videos in church. Altogether, I met a brother a couple months ago who said he had been following us for over a year. I don't know what he looked like. I didn't know. He never spoke to me. But I think someone had shared one of our videos in church and he saw it. And from there, he went to our website. He fell on our teachings for over a year before he reached out to me. Right? So you should be proud of sharing the tracks of the church. Is that true? You should be proud of sharing the content of the church. Is that true? Yeah? You should be proud of it. Yeah? I know some of you are very non-social media. Right? But I mean, there's nothing. In fact, let me tell you for free. In almost 4 or 5 years, I rarely stay on social media to look at content. A lot of times, I stay on social media to what? Just post the content. You see, when I traveled to Nigeria a couple of weeks ago, it is shocking the number of people who reached out to me to talk about how they follow us actively. Right? So, it would be wrong of me or wrong of us as a church to teach we can't use the social media to share God's word. No, we can't do that. We can't do that, right? Years ago, I left that phase of trying to look at number of likes. So you are not sharing it to look at who is viewing, who is not viewing. It is do your work and share it. I can tell you for free that a lot of people who watch you don't engage with your content. That's not scripture. I'm just trying to say analysis. Together. Yeah. Yeah. So you must ensure that you are bold and proud about your church. That's different, but that's not evangelism. It's a part of your responsibility as a local church. It doesn't cost you anything to have an alarm on your phone to remind yourself that, oh, I need to share God's powers and video, I need to share God's powers content. I have it on my phone, even as the pastor of God's powers. You get that? So it's very important. But that's not evangelism. Okay, so number four. Evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. Evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. Evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. It is a mandate of every believer. Evangelism is not a responsibility for specific people. It is a mandate for an every believer. So it means as a church, it is wrong to have evangelism department.
About Jesus.
Lovely. It is wrong for us, it's not scriptural for us to have a specific set of people who do what? Evangelism. Now, if we have this group of people who need an evangelism team, and their work is to coordinate us, okay, they want to go and research on cities, maybe, for instance, want to go and preach in a school, right? And we have some people who have those, you know, responsibilities to go to the school to go and ask the principal or the head of school questions, can we come and preach? That's a different ballgame, because not all of us will go and ask them. You understand? But we cannot say, evangelism group, wait behind after church, right? And what we mean by evangelism group is those who preach the gospel every week. So some people will be going out to preach the gospel while we will be what? Gathering our money to support them to drink water. Remember, we have three G's. The givers, the groaners, and the goers. Who are the goers? Those that go to the field. Who are the givers? Those that give people transport money. Those that give people transport money to the field. Then who are the groaners? Those that stay behind and pray for those that go into the field. Every believer is a groaner. Every believer should be a groaner. Every believer should be a giver. Every believer should be a what? A what? Goer. So you are a goer? Is that true? You are a giver. You are a groaner. Are we together? Right? So evangelism is not a responsibility for a specific people. It's a mandate for every believer. So you cannot have a department called evangelism. So there can be choir, there can be ushering, there can be, you know, media, but it should not be prayer. Amen? If we have prayer, we have a prayer coordinator, is to align or allocate slots or days or responsible for coming together with the prayers we pray in all our meetings. Not that we have, I remember over a decade ago, definitely. You know, my dad used to have some people who were in the house every day. They report every day in the house from morning to evening to pray. And we're paying them salary. You like that kind of generally. Yeah? You like that kind of job. It's not just to pray. Right? I know those people, they don't know that I knew them. Right? Once my dad is not around, they just be eat, they will eat beans, they will do beans. You'll be smelling all kinds of things, do all kinds of meal. Once they just know his car is coming, I don't know how they know. Maybe that's what it is that gives what the spirit for. It's just the in the room, it's come up, every believer is called to pray. Altogether. So evangelism is not responsible for specific of people, it's a mandate to everyone. Now number five, this is very important. Evangelism is not sharing tea and coffee. Evangelism is, remember I told you, everything we are saying, in the real sense, some of them to a very large extent, right, there are things that can be done. Yeah? Evangelism is not, nobody gets saved by drinking your tea. Imagine you serve somebody tea and the person says, I taste salvation. I believe he died for me. That's not the gospel. Is that true? Yeah? So, evangelism, now, can you share tea and coffee in the cold? That's okay. But sharing tea and coffee is not announcing the message of the gospel. I came across with some people who were in court sharing tea and coffee on one of those streets there. And they had Jesus loves you. Yes, that's good. You know. But some people were just going there to collect coffee and go. Collect coffee and go. Collect coffee and go. It should be a way that you first preach the gospel. You want coffee? You want coffee or you don't want coffee? Yeah? Before I give you coffee, it's ready. We have full tank. Well, you must believe the gospel. Right? So you must first interact with them, preach the gospel first, then you give them coffee and cake. Yeah, I don't know if I took note of one, but there's one that doesn't mean. It came easier. Evangelism is not praise and worship on the streets. Okay. So evangelism is not sharing tea and coffee. So you can show care with tea and coffee. You can show, take water. Oh, yes. See, there's the care that comes with the message of the gospel. There's the kindness and show of love that comes with the message of the gospel. Those that are homeless, that's fine. Yeah, even those that have home. You know? Yeah? Now you come and be drinking our coffee, you finish all our sugar, finish all our milk, you are not saved. Yeah, we've not done the work of announcing the gospel. Number six, evangelism is not doing community service for the community. Now the church wants to sweep the whole Novotel. Let's all meet on Saturday evening. Okay, that's good. But that's not evangelism. So evangelism is not doing community service for the community. I wrote something, I said, if you clean the street and the men that walk on the street are not saved, they are still doomed for destruction. They're just men doomed for destruction walking on clean ground. Yeah, so evangelism is not doing community service for the community. Right? Now, number seven, evangelism is not playing gospel music on the streets. Altogether, evangelism is not playing gospel music on the streets. Evangelism is not doing gospel music, playing gospel music on audio. Right? Or, you know, doing praise concert on the streets. Just carry drum, carry keyboard, and just start disturbing the neighborhood. Yeah? That's not it. You can use that. Yes, you can use that. Yeah? I think we've tried it once as a church. If some of you don't remember, we tried it once as a church last year, right? Or probably maybe the year before, right? But what did we do? We took a speaker to Prison Street. We just put it there. The reason for putting it on the floor there is just to what make noise so that people can know something is happening. Are we together? But we not just start playing it. Maybe we just have one DJ. Plus and play, and people are going, no. We're engaging. Have you ever heard me talk about the story of a man who cut his hand and wanted me to heal him? You've heard me say that story, right? Yeah. Yes, in the UK now. You've heard me say that story. You've heard me say the story. I was ministering to him through word of knowledge. Everything was accurate. He too wanted to do word of knowledge for me. Right? To prove that it was guesswork. Yeah? They wanted to prove that healing is... wanted to prove healing. He now brought out his key. He was with his girlfriend. Brought out his key and was trying to cut his hand. Thank God he didn't cut it because I just gone away. He was just going with pain. Yeah, now I always tell you, when you go on the streets of evangelism, don't let anybody test you. Yeah, you minister to somebody with word of knowledge, and I try to say, if you know you are right, what is my grandfather's first name? When you start, you'll just be failing it like probably you'll be failing like mass exam. Yeah, I remember one Muslim I was preaching to a couple years ago. I minister to him, I spoke about his entire family, number of people in their house, spoke about this is your father, this is your father, I still. He still my brother and said, what's the name of my mother? And me, I already knew more than that. I cannot, the moment I start saying, Aisha, Amina, I will call all the names. I will miss everything because I've gone into the flesh. Right? Remember, when I'm ministering the spirit, it's 25. Yeah? So don't get carried away with people who want. So I remember that day, we just put a speaker there. But remember, none of us stood around the speaker. Well, so those of you who were around, we just kept the speaker there. We were engaging with people for over an hour, one after the other. So there's a place of letting people know that some people are doing something here, yeah? Right? You put a speaker there, but we don't stand behind the speaker to be reducing and regulating volume. Hear what they are saying, you know? No. The message of the gospel needs to be heralded and preached. Now, number eight. Evangelism is not clothing people with material clothes. Evangelism is not clothing people with material clothes. Evangelism is not clothing people with material clothes. There's a reason why I'm saying clothing people with material clothes. Because evangelism actually deals with clothing people. Right? Isaiah will call it the robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation. And together. So there's the robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation. That is what we give people, delivering men from the prison of life. Yeah? But the message of the gospel is about a supernatural spiritual garment that is given to man. Not physical clothes. So is there anything wrong in giving the needy, the people that are less privileged clothes to wear? Nothing is wrong. So if we wanted to go and give a community clothes to wear, right? There's nothing wrong in that. But in going for that, if we go there and we don't preach, what we went there to do is to do NGO work. Everything. Well, what we will not record that as one of our days of evangelism. You hear me, huh? Yeah, we can go to a charity place, give people clothes. I don't know if they do it around here where they have a community of people who are not really homeless, but children. What do you call orphans? I don't know if they do it around here. But in the real sense, we go there and go and pack. We used to do it a lot in Nigeria, right? We pack Indomie, pack rice, pack everything, give them. Yeah, you can't be feeding somebody that is doomed for destruction. I'm not saying don't feed somebody that is doomed for destruction. I'm trying to say, much more than the physical food you are giving them, there's supernatural spiritual food expected from you. So evangelism is not clothing people. If we clothe people and they don't believe the gospel or hear the gospel, we are only clothing people who are without life. You hear that? If we clothe people and they don't believe or hear the gospel from you, we are only clothing people who are without life. So someone needs to be rescued from death, you are giving them clothes. Do you understand? A house is burning. right? The house is burning. Imagine the house is burning and somebody needs to run away from the house and they say, come, let me go back and take my toothbrush. Doesn't make sense, right? Yeah. So somebody needs to be rescued from death. Whilst you give them clothes physically, there's a garment of salvation which you put on your lips. So you clothe people by putting the words of God, the message of God on your lips and preaching it to them. Yeah? So in the real sense, you must be careful to know what evangelism is not. So evangelism is not giving, like I said, someone you need to rescue from the bondage of sin and death, like giving them coffee and shoe. Mind you, there is nothing wrong in giving coffee and shoe. Right? What number is that?
Number 8.
Now, number 9. Evangelism is not sharing the stories of our past. Evangelism is not sharing the stories of our past. Evangelism is not sharing the stories of our past. The story of redemption is the message we preach. So there's a story we share, but not the story of our past. We don't share the stories of our past, right? And call it evangelism. Is it wrong to share the stories of the past? No. But that's not evangelism. If you share stories, hey, if you met me 3 years ago, if you met me 10 years ago, women cannot stay around me because I'm a woman rapper. 10 years ago, I used to down 5 bottles of Uda. But see what God has done. Ah, that's not my reality. Please take that as an example and note it as an example to the praise and glory of our Lord. You know, interestingly, I've never tested alcohol in my life. Never. Yeah. So next time when I'm giving an example like that, just remember I've said I've never tasted alcohol in my life. Right? Never tasted alcohol, never smoked in my life, right? So your story is not the message of the gospel. So when you go on the streets, right, you see somebody who is battling with alcohol, you say, I was once like you. Mm. Once you were once like that, the only thing that will rescue, look at it this way, wind is blowing, storm is blowing, the breeze is blowing, you are in the boat, you are supposed to stretch your hand to save somebody, you are giving them story. I was once like you, but God delivered me. How can he be saved? The only way he or she can be saved is when you stretch forth your hand from the boat. And how do you stretch forth your hand? By preaching the gospel. Altogether, right? So your past story is not, oh, I've killed 50 people. You know, let me tell you something. We need to learn how to be discreet with information. You see, God forgives, man does not forgive and forget. I asked somebody who I'm discipling right now in the U.S. One of the issues she has was somebody came to their church to confess she was a witch before. We need to get things right. Okay, you were a witch before. The only thing you don't... Guess the problem I'm having with her. Anytime the lady moves close to her children, she goes and carries her children around. You are laughing. If it's you, may you... might you not do that? Somebody's going to carry Eri, and the person's testimony last week was that I killed two there for a living. Even if the person is in the prayer point, even if the person led us in prayer that morning, it's also the person going to Eri, you just go and stand beside them. I'm not sure. They say, why are you praying? Say, I'm a prayer man. Pastor said, we should always stay praying. People forget. People don't forget. Do you get me? People don't forget. Some of people just, well, you know, just wake up, just do YouTube video. Yes, I know it encourages some other people. But some of us just do it for the cloud, just so people can. People don't forget. People know how to see you the way you said you were. Not the way you said, not the way you are now. Let me tell you something. See, if somebody amongst us confessed that they were a thief before, let's say Sister Esther Yusuf. My sister Esther had just gone and said, God delivered me from stealing. Before, when I steal, you cannot know. If one day my iPad is missing from this table, I'm telling you, just be sincere with me, who will you first ask? You know that somewhere in your mind, you begin to reason, where did Sister Esther sit that day? Where did she go that day? What did she carry? That's the way the mind of man works. God forgives. God forgives, doesn't hold it against you. Man will hold it against you. So don't go around preaching, people who don't need. Yeah? This he called me, he sent me a voice, and actually I was laughing. So because our husband is now considering, now she's a new creation. But you know, see the funny thing? Now, before that child, she had had some issues before then. So she knows what she went through before she gave birth to her two children. Do you understand? Someone now say it was a witch before. You want to carry my baby. Don't build my baby. Do you understand? That's the way the minds of people work. She must be very, very intentional about it, okay? And your message is gospel. So you can successfully live your Christian life without telling anybody your past. Are we together? Yeah, one of these is I'm going to talk about all these past issues, you know. Somebody had asked me a question recently and said, Pastor, do I need to tell my husband or my wife my past? Okay, number 9. Number 10, right? Okay, so number 10. Evangelism is not my life is preaching the gospel, in quotes. Do you get that? Evangelism is not my life is preaching the gospel, in quotes. My neighbors watch me. My neighbors are always watching me. That's the gospel preached. I used to tell my neighbor to take their beam. This is somebody watching you through the window taking their beam. Say, wow, my neighbor is taking my beam. I'm saved. No. Is there anything wrong in taking the beam of your neighbor? No, there is nothing wrong in that. But when you take the pain of your neighbor, you must ensure that you announce the message of the gospel. So evangelism is not my lifestyle is preaching the message. Nope. Nope. Right? How do you preach the gospel? I communicate God's message by the way I conduct myself at work. No. Nobody gets saved by that. Is your conduct important to preach the gospel? Yes. Are we together? I don't know if I wrote another one that just came to mind. Evangelism is not acting drama. Yeah, so evangelism is as much not what saying my life is preaching the gospel. Yeah, your life really should be a testament of what you believe. But that's not evangelism. You ought to announce and preach the gospel. Altogether. So don't get yourself all worked up and everybody says, and some people are even very naughty now. The way they preach the gospel is because it's through the money they buy. Do you know the things they buy? Do you know there's a lot of conservatism that comes with being a Christian? You know you can be conservative. You know you can be conservative. You know you can. You know you can actually keep a lot of things from. You know, because we're not in a very balanced world. There's some things you don't need to rub on the faces of. Yeah? And those people, you still came late for service. The first thing you took is Pringles. You came late for service. They serve Pringles for you. You ate it. There's some etiquette you should have. It's a. They serve Sprite, they serve Fanta. You are supposed to let preaching, you finish everything. And you are talking for more than, 20 minutes. So all your TG you prepare for with your jacket and suit is not more than 20 minutes. All your sermon is 20 minutes long. You have drunk Sprite and Fanta, then you have Pringles, then you now put Tom in your mouth. No, that's not a model. Are you with me? That's not a model. Yeah. And that's why I always tell you, service in the local church is not the same as evangelism ministry. I have some friends, I speak to them, how is ministry? Oh, that's fine. I remember one was telling me, this week we decided to buy new trays for our pastor. That's your answer to how is ministry. We notice that the trays are getting, weak. So we want to just, buy new trays for our pastors. Are we together? Yeah, so you must understand that there's a difference between what? Evangelism and what? Storytelling. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? So you must understand that my life preaching the gospel is not evangelism. Are we here? Now, who doesn't like money here? Let me see your hands. Believers. Christians, all of you like money. Is it wrong to have money? No. Should you have money?
Yes.
My brother, I've never heard your voice in this church before. I've heard your voice for the first time. Is it wrong to have money? No. You should have money. And I'm telling you something, a lot of times we deceive ourselves. We get ourselves into unnecessary, dubious activities because we keep saying, or your pastor keeps telling you, the gospel needs money. The gospel needs a willing man to walk into the instruction of going. The gospel needs a willing man to hearken to the instruction of going. Going to the world. God needs your intention, your life, your heart before your money. That's why some of you, we have some family father, right? Yet the husband does not go to church, but the husband sends his offering to the church. Oh my goodness. Right? Oh my goodness. And the day the husband comes to church because he's the highest giver, they give him a special seat in front. You know, there's some things we do we need to be careful around because the implications are gross. Yeah, the implications are gross. I remember a pastor was talking a couple of years ago. He was saying, anybody that has money should bring it to. God needs the money for the gospel. I never thought of preaching the gospel to the person who is bringing the money. You know that if the you know, upon the resurrection morning, that one who gave you all the money he has and gave you money and that he was your highest giver, if he's not born again, he's not born again. Yeah, so we must ensure that we don't paint that picture. That picture of, my lifestyle, you wear good. I remember there were some people who, you know, somebody was reaching out to me and said, no, Pastor, you know, we need to be asking people not to be repeating clothes. The things I hear with my ear, I was talking with the pastor of my church a few years ago, how do you cope with all these things? It is my ears, ear. I had nothing. The pastor, for the media perspective, you know, when people come together, let them just try and make people just be, you know, just for the contents to just. There was somebody I was discipling who did not come to church for a while. And I asked the person, why have you not come to church? I said, Pastor, I finished all my clothes. We're saying, this thing happens. Yeah? Pastor, I finished all my clothes. Though. I cannot repeat clothes. Because where I'm coming from, we don't usually beat clothes. We wear one cloth per year. So we've given a false impression that a display of wealth is how you know God is in the midst of the church. Jesus gave a scolding in the book of Revelations. He says, what? You are materialistic. Covetousness is your heart. You see, you're never cold now. You're never warm or hot or cold. I'll spill you out. What's it saying? Materialism. Eh? We're in church. We're in finished service. We don't snap picture here. It's car park. We go and snap picture. Car park. People will not come and stand in front of their car. And you see the comment. God is in the midst of us. It is evident. Hashtag Abuja. Hashtag Edinburgh churches. You should be able to know because you are preaching a message to people. And you know what now happens? People who now come to those kind of a lot of times, they now come and they're under pressure. You that you didn't have clothes before, that you didn't wear suits before, you go and buy suits, and you buy it on credit. So people now wear clothes on credit for Sunday service. Imagine you are wearing clothes. You came to church to serve God, you are wearing clothes on credit. Any clothes you need to buy on credit, I don't think you can afford it. Why do you have to collect it on credit? My wife used to fight with me and say, why do I wear Primark? Is it Primark they call it? I'm going to expose you. I don't wear Primark. Wait. Look at me. What is Primark on my body? Just tell me what is Primark on my body. If I show you all the logo, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Should I go and buy it? There's no need for all of that. All together. There's no need for all of that. I want to show you all that, you know, there's a message in the gospel. Let me tell you, the money I'm getting is not from church. It's not from church. I work. I labor. Amen. I labor. You should labor. That when you see your pastor who works in the secular and is also doing ministry, he should show you an example of who you can become. Ministry does not have to suffer for career. Career does not have to suffer for what? Ministry. Some of the lie, alhamdulillah. So evangelism is not, you know, and my life is preaching the gospel. Number 11, right? Evangelism is not A life without Christ will be full of crisis. Are we together? A life without Christ will be full of crisis. You know, some people teach the message of the gospel that, oh, you are going through a lot of challenges in life because you don't have Christ. Are we together? So evangelism is not a life without Christ, it will be full of crisis. Number 12. Evangelism is not come and see my pastor. Your issues will be solved. Come and see my pastor. Your issues will be solved. All together. Number 13. Let me say this importantly. Evangelism is not ministering the things of the Spirit. Evangelism is not ministering the things of the Spirit. Evangelism is not ministering the things of the Spirit. But tell people about the decisions of their lives, both past and future, and they don't hear the gospel and believe, they are still doomed for condemnation, for destruction. So we can use the points above, you know, you can use a lot of them, right? But if we use all of the points above without sharing the facts of the gospel, you have just succeeded in what? Not preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? So what are the facts of the gospel? That Christ died. Right? That God became a man to die for the sins of man. He was killed by men, buried by men, and he resurrected by the power of the Holy Ghost, or the power of God. And he now wants to dwell in the heart of another. So can we go through number 1 to 13 quickly? Yeah, so just give us clear. So we'll say it together, right? So when you come to church, what do you come with? You come with your writing materials and listen and what? You take notes. So number 1, what's number 1? Evangelism is not? Number 2, evangelism is not? Lovely. Number 3 is not what? Is what? Evangelism is not posting church flyer on social media. Number 4, evangelism is not what? Responsibility for specific people. It is a mandate for every believer. Number 5, evangelism is not what? Sharing tea and coffee. Amen? Number 6, evangelism is not what? Doing community service for the community. Number 7, evangelism is not what? Playing gospel music on the streets. Lovely to see you all writing. Number 8, evangelism is not what? Clothing people. Lovely. I actually just added that here. Okay. Number 9 is not, evangelism is not what? Sharing the story of your past. Now, what did I say about that? Beautiful. The story of redemption is story of, don't want to say I used to womanize. I used to sleep with five women in a day. I remember one man, he was sharing his testimony. He slept with 100 women in a year. He said, if you now, as husband, you now your wife, you join the church. And pastor said, I want to see your wife doing the big thing. My wife is at work. Your wife does not have work. You give her work, she does not have. You understand? I said, People don't forget. You say, you should be 100 women. You don't miss to see 100 women in 1 year. Different women. Kind and caliber, because they travel abroad everywhere. And I said, I want to see my wife. We will see you together. We are one. We will come and visit you together. No, you see, and the truth is, we should actually see them as new creation. Mm-hmm. Right? So, your evangelism is not sharing stories of the past. What's number 10? Evangelism is not what? My life is preaching the message of Christ. Lovely. In quotes, lovely. Number 11, evangelism is not what? A life without Christ will be full of crisis. Number 12, evangelism is not come and see my pastor and your issues will be solved. Lovely. Right? Number 13, evangelism is not the ministry of the things of the Spirit. Are we together? Right? So what is evangelism? So let's say, go through truth about evangelism. Now, number one fact, every believer is called to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. First Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5. Number 1, every believer is what? Called to preach the gospel. So if every believer is called to preach the gospel, it means every believer must be conversant with the facts of the gospel. Is that true? Yeah? You must be conversant with the fact of the gospel, right? So now, what are the facts of the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and what? Of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Look at chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So what are the facts of the gospel? What are the facts of the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Are you there? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Now look at verse 3. What did Paul deliver? Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also what? Received. How that Christ was?
Died.
What is the next statement after died? For our sins. Christ died for sins. Christ did not die for any other thing apart from sins. Are we together? Right? So there's nothing like, because I'm in Christ, I cannot be poor. You can be in Christ and you are rich in Christ. And you are poor when it comes to what? The Queen's currency. Are we together? The gospel is not that God wants you not to be poor. See the gospel? Yeah. So the Bible teaches that for our sin, Christ Jesus, who was rich, was made poor. That we through his what? That we through his poverty become what? Rich. Yes. What is the riches that we have received because of his poverty? It is the riches of his Spirit, the riches of his righteousness. So you are rich. Like I always tell you, when you say God who became poor, Christ became poor, when did he become poor? There's no record in the scripture of Jesus doing giveaway. Going, 5 pounds. Did he do that? So what did he own that he became poor? So it means his poverty is found in the fact that he took on mortality. Associated himself with mankind and mankind's sin. So that you might be rich. What is the riches you've received? His life. So you are saved eternally. You are born again. You are righteous. You are holy. Your sins forgiven eternally. There is no believer who was once born again that will lose his salvation. Are we together? Yeah? Salvation is an eternal gift from God. God is responsible for keeping you saved. Right? You know the funny thing? People who preach that salvation can be lost are saved eternally. This is not funny. That's how merciful God is. You can lose your salvation because you lie. It's not possible. You don't lose salvation because of anything you do. Should you lie?
No.
Everybody say no. Loud voice.
No.
No, you should not lie. Should you steal? No. Yeah? But you don't lose your salvation because of your actions. Why? Because your actions did not make you get the salvation. His action gave you the salvation. He died on the cross for you, gave you his life, gave you his blood. And he says, you are washed, sanctified, redeemed, sanctified, made acceptably beloved. You are righteous forever. You are holy. You are blameless before God. I was together, right? But you must ensure that there's a lifestyle that comes on the back of that. Hallelujah. So the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. What did he say? According to the scriptures. Any message that preaches that Christ died for your material prosperity is a teaching that is not according to the scriptures. Are we together? You will twist the Bible, you will not find evidence. You will turn the Bible, you will not find evidence. Not one person gets rich because of believing the gospel. You can't point to one. Are we together? Now look at the next verse, verse 4. And that he was what? Buried. And that he what? Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So which one is more important? The death or the resurrection?
Resurrection.
So if you have to preach one of them, which one will you preach? The resurrection. Because there's no resurrection without death. For you to resurrect, it means you died. Right? So if you preach the death of Jesus, except you're using it as a motive, or I'll teach you all of that in coming years, or you're using it as a figure of speech to encapsulate. Is that the word? Yeah. So You get the point, right? Except using it to, so if we sing about the death of Jesus, right, in the real sense, we are going to be singing for a place of, we're using the death to represent his work. You get the point? But the most important message the man is to believe that Christ rose from the dead. And let me tell you, once you believe that, once you believe that, you are saved forever. See, God made getting saved so basic that it is just to believe in Christ rose again. Just to believe in the work of God. That's all. That's all. The moment you believe, you are born again, sanctified, made righteous, holy. Are we together? So he says that he was buried and that he rose again according to what? The scriptures. So the gospel is solely about who? Jesus. So the facts of the gospel are specific. Did you get that? The facts of the gospel are specific. That is, Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the message. See, if you go to the streets and go and tell someone, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, man, hey, girl, hey, whatever you are, right? I just want to tell you that Christ died for your sins and he rose for your sins, that you might be justified in his sight. You've preached the gospel. You've preached the gospel. I'm telling you that God is so intentional about you that through his resurrection, he demonstrates his love towards humanity, and you are part of those who are found in humanity. That's the message of the gospel. Yeah, like I told you, you should be able to preach the gospel in 30 seconds and 3 hours. Yeah, so the gospel has definite facts that God came as a man, he died as a man, and he resurrected as what? A man. I hope you know. Jesus resurrected as a man. Hallelujah. So he resurrected as a man. Yeah, number two. What is number one? Every believer is called to preach the gospel, and the gospel has its facts. What are the facts of the gospel? Resurrected, right? Is that the same thing as John 3:16? And after, yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Say, have everlasting life. Say with the conviction. Say, have everlasting life. Say, I'm born again. I'm saved. Say, my salvation lies in the bosom of my Father. Say, I'm redeemed, righteous, blameless. I'm accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm a preacher. Say, my names are. Say, my names are. Preacher Evangelist Joshua Yusuf. You call my name. Say, my name is Evangelist Joshua Yusuf. So, you're an evangelist. Every believer is an evangelist. Are we together? Yeah, every believer is called to be an evangelist. Don't relegate evangelists to people that do crusade in a stadium. People that do crusade in open air, plenty chairs. Yeah, they are functional gifts of the spirit, functional ministry gifts, sorry. But there's a fundamental evangelistic call that's upon your life to preach the gospel. So what's number two? Evangelism is an instruction and not an option. Evangelism is an instruction, not an option. Evangelism is an instruction, not an option. Are you with me? Have you gone home? Evangelism is an instruction, not an option. Yeah, we saw that in Mark 16. Look at number three. Skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing. Number three. Skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing. Skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing. Skills for evangelism are built by evangelizing. So how do you get better in witnessing? You start witnessing, you continue witnessing. Yeah? The secret to getting better in evangelizing is what? By evangelizing. Are we together? See, learn how to put God's word on your lips in almost any conversation and anywhere you find yourself. I went together. There are specific days I go for evangelism as a pastor. I don't go as evangelism as a pastor. I'm saying as your pastor. I go as evangelism as a believer. But there are other days as well where my intention was not to go for evangelism. But because I know I'm a man on a mission, any opportunity I see, I try to seize it. I went together. I can be walking back home, for instance. I can be walking back home from a prayer walk. Right? And I see someone and I just minister to them. Yeah? You must find ways to preach the gospel. Right? See, let me tell you something. If you are waiting for a perfect time to start learning how to preach the gospel, well, light that light will never come. There's no perfect time to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. I'm going to use next week's Sunday and the Sunday after to teach about the practicality of preaching the gospel. How do you start conversations in the classroom? How do you start conversations, you know, outside of the classroom? How do you start conversations in the hospital? How do you start conversation, you know, in the marketplace, on the train, on the bus? How do you start conversation? Let me tell you something. A lot of times, right, the guilt you have is that, you know, sometimes when you really don't preach the gospel because you think someone really... It's not... To preach the gospel is not demeaning. Is that a word? It's not. People will have anything you want to say about me. I'd rather stay in the will and center of God's will for my life than to impress you. Yeah. I said it last week. I'm not going to ask how many of you did it, but I'll say it again today. When you are going on the train, when you are going on the tram, when you go and stop to buy something at Morrison's, preach to someone. Hello, how are you doing today? I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you and God actually came to die for you, right? So anything they say after that can now influence whether they want to run or they want to stay. But try it. And I always tell you, a lot of times before you find the first person you speak to in this kind of community where everybody is on the move, right? Before you find the first person, you might have stopped 20 people, but dear saints, better stop 19 people so that you get the 20th person. You don't know what family you will save and help. And you will affect by default forever the lineage of that family. So the skills of evangelism are built only by evangelizing, rather by evangelizing. That's the best way to learn how to. Number four, evangelism involves taking the initiative to speak to and with people. Acts 8, 29. I'll show you something there. Acts 8, 29. Evangelism involves taking the initiative to speak to and to speak with people. You need to take that initiative. You need to take the initiative to speak with people, engage people in discussions concerning the gospel. What do you think about God? Yeah, we're going to get to the practicality of that. You can ask somebody, do you believe in God? Have you ever heard about God? What do you think about God? If we were to be standing in front of God, let's say God gave me an opportunity, a blank check, to ask a question to God, what would that question be? I know some of your heart is now beating. See, what is the answer? I do not know how to continue. We'll get there. Right? Yeah? Yeah, if we were to ask God to do one thing for you, what would it be? If we were to ask God to, you know, one question, so you must be able to know the facts of the gospel to present. So, for instance, if you ask somebody, I want God to do one thing for you, and they give you all the kind of lists, you tell them, what if I tell you there's one eternal thing he has done for you? The fact that he came to die for you. Yeah, so, Acts 8, verse 29. Are you there? Acts 8, 29. It says, the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and go join thyself to this chariot. Right? Then Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understanding thou what thou readest. So that a man is carrying Bible does not mean he's saved. Is that not true?
Yeah.
This is somebody who was with the scriptures. And Philip will now ask him, do you understand what you are reading? He will say, no. Look what he says. He says, and he said, Acts 8:31. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him and guide him through the scriptures. So he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Like I told you, that a man's name is Daniel, that a man's name is John. Your name can be Daniel, your middle name is John, and your surname is Mark. Doesn't make you a believer. Altogether, because people give their children names for different reasons. So people give the names of their children because that's the name of their manager that they liked. Is that true? Yeah, so that the manager might have a Christian name, but it doesn't mean that he's born again. So number five, every and anyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves to be told about the gospel. I'll say it again. Right? Every and anyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves to be told the gospel. Every and anyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves to be told the gospel. Every and anyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves for us to be told the gospel. Number six, evangelism requires intentionality. Number six, evangelism requires intentionality. Evangelism requires intentionality. Number seven, the gospel of evangelism is solely about Jesus and his work. Number six, evangelism requires intentionality. Number seven, the gospel of evangelism is solely about Jesus and his work. Number eight, the evangelized is to become an evangelist. So you are first the evangelist to make one you evangelize to become an evangelist. Right? So number eight, the evangelized is to become an evangelist. Matthew 28, 18, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make students, make disciples of all nations. Right? Number nine, for now, it is evangelism is my responsibility. So we said, evangelism is my responsibility, number nine. Right? So that's why she our mission as a church. Is to see men come into the reality of God's love and to what? Train them for the work of ministry. How do we plan to do that? By teaching God's word and demonstrating love in all facets of life. So can we run through 1 to 9 quickly? Can we run through 1 to 9 quickly? 1, 2, 3, go number 1. Every believer is called to preach the gospel. And you must know the what? The facts of the, what are the facts of the gospel? That Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. For what? Please add that sins, though. Add sins, though. It's not on ending list. It's for before because people now people have started adding marriage. They've added partner, they've added career, they've added job. It is for sins. I saw someone the other day, the person is looking for a job. I said, how many jobs have they applied for in the last 3 months? They're like, roughly 5 or 6. Because they told you that what Christ died for your sin, you cannot be jobless, and your sin 3 months is going. That 3 months is going. You see, Christ died for you, you cannot be jobless, and 3 months is going. Yeah, so you must know where the Bible puts full stop, put full stop. Don't change the full stop to comma. He died for sins, then my job, my husband. Yeah. That's why when you want to choose husband or choose wife, go put why. Sister Patricia. Yeah? When you want to choose husband, you what? You open your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Yeah? Even if you are praying, be praying and open your eyes. Praise God. Because you know, when your emotions are involved in some of these decisions, a lot of times, you miss it. And when I mean miss it, I don't mean that God destined somebody for you, you miss the person. No. I'm trying to say, you know, you can see someone that is really very, very in the world, and you make sense of that person in the world. Yeah, so you need to open your eyes. Well, that's not what I'm teaching. So the gospel has its facts. Christ died, he was buried, he resurrected for what? For sins. Full stop. What scripture can you use to explain those facts? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. So for 1 to 6, you can go ahead. Number 2, evangelism is an instruction, not an option. It doesn't require your opinion. Are we together? You know, but Pastor, I really feel like because I'm not really fluent in words, no. God uses every and any. Are we together? I don't know the words to use. No, God actually still expects that you use your words to preach the gospel. Look at number 3. Skills for evangelism are built by what? Evangelizing. Number 4, evangelism involves taking the initiative to speak to or with people. That means to engage people in what? Discussions concerning the gospel. Are you with me? What number 5? Every and anyone we meet or pass or come in contact with deserves to be told about the gospel. Number 6, everyone together? Evangelism requires intentionality. Number 7, the gospel of evangelism is solely about Jesus and his work. Is that linked to number 1? The facts of the gospel, right? Jesus died for our sins. Now, going back to evangelism requires intentionality, you know what that means? It means that by default, when you are a human who has other things you are doing with your life, you must be intentional and deliberate enough to have a time when you want to go for evangelism. Are we together? See, I expect all of you to have a day in your calendar for starters when you block a time to preach the gospel. It might be on a Saturday morning. It might be on a Friday evening. It might be on a Friday afternoon. Yes, but you decide that, oh, today I'm closing work at 5 o'clock. Between 5 and 7 before I get home, I will go and preach the gospel intentionally. So what do you do from the morning when you are going out? You go with your Bible. Altogether, you go with your Bible, put your Bible in your bag, right? You have a cross bag, you have, you know, some of the tracts. And if you need tracts, you can get tracts available to you. But remember, sharing of tracts is not the words, preaching of the gospel, although it can help. So intentionality requires, and let me tell you something again. When you finish preaching and collect people's number, see, I don't know why some of us don't know how to use our phones well. We use our phones for every other thing apart from things that are important. You have an app that's a calendar on your phone, a reminder for your phone, an alarm on your phone. You know, it can remind you to pray. You know, it can remind you to, you know, to witness to people. You know, it can remind you to pray for people you've witnessed to. You also know, it can remind you to follow up with people who gave you their numbers. Don't be collecting people's number on the street and just be increasing your call log. Yeah, I have a reminder on my phone. Reach out. I have a list of everybody I preach to, and I spend time preaching to them. I have a day of the week when I catch up with every one of them. Yeah, you send them a message, they might not reply, but you're doing your work. You're doing your work. I told you about an example of a man, for instance. He got born again years after two ladies preached to him. Are we together? Yeah, and he found life, received life, and moved on from there. So he must be very intentional about what evangelism. What's number eight? The evangelized is to become what? An evangelist. What's number nine? Evangelism is my responsibility. I've been instructed by that. So next week on Wednesday, we'll start looking at how important is evangelism to God. Right? Then on Sunday, we'll now start looking at the practical steps we need to take in evangelizing. The intentional steps we need to take in evangelizing. Right? We need to actually learn how to start conversations. What statement can you have? What statement can you make? It can be as simple as, do you have 5 minutes? Do you have 10 seconds? Do you have 30 seconds to talk about love? Right? It always works. Usually works. Do you have 10 seconds? Do you have a few minutes to talk about love? You might not need to mention God's love. Yeah? But love is a very captivating topic by default. Right, I remember a lot of times when I reach out to couples when they are together, I know once I drop love in their middle, they start blushing. And he just knows how to break the wall of partition. Once you just drop love, you just say, what do you say, love? You don't know what I'm here for you, right? So, but in the real sense, we now start talking, they start not talking, and before you know it, we now bring in the message of the love of God. Very important. Very important. Very important. Yeah, I'm going to teach you all the etiquette of reaching out to people, right? You brush your teeth. Yeah, it's important. It's in my note, though. You brush your teeth, try and wash your, you know, get clean. Yeah, it's very important. Yeah, you can afford any little spray or wash yourself well. Yeah, they are very important, this thing, right? Also, as a young man, there's a way not to speak to a young lady who you clearly know is young. Right? There's a distance you should keep anywhere you are in the world. Don't go and be standing in front of their face and be saying, Jesus loves you. And scan your car. So, well, let's sing our family song as we do before we go. We are men set on course for Christ to do His will on earth. Saving men with the gospel on our lips, reaching every sphere. Working in us, fulfilling His desire, as we cover the earth, His Spirit. Fulfilling His desires, by faith we call at the end. Men are saved by the word, souls are won into the church. Men are saved, souls are won, the church is built. Souls are won into the church. Men are saved. Souls are won. The church is built. Hallelujah. Jesus reigns. Hallelujah. Jesus reigns. Pleasure to bring God's word your way today. Before you go home, don't just run out. Speak to someone you've not spoken to before. Give them a warm shake, a warm hug, a warm high five, right? And just a warm chat. Ask them, how's your week been? How are you doing? Hope you're fine. Hope your health is good. We want to be seeing you over and over and over again. For those of them, I will not see over and over and over again. Right, but ensure you speak to someone. I want you all to know that I love you all so much. And I believe in God's mighty hand upon your life. Have a lovely and miracle-filled week. Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Yeah.